Welcome to episode 5 of KC's Lenten podcast, Into the Wilderness. If you are joining us for the first time, or simply need a refresher on what this podcast is all about, I'd encourage you to check out the first episode of this series titled Into the Wilderness, Lenten podcast intro, and then join us back here after you're done. Let's begin. Please pray along with me. God of call, God of transformation, God of the Lenten journey, help us to discern your still, small voice. Open us to change and growth as we seek to walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 4, 5-7. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Today, we look at Jesus' second temptation in the wilderness. This time, Satan takes Jesus to the holy city, Jerusalem, and sets him on the highest point of Herod's Temple Mount. To give us a sense of the context, Herod's Temple Mount was situated in the middle of Jerusalem, and it was the focal point of the city, people coming and going all day long. Commentators speculate that the specific spot of the temple being referred to here is probably the southeast corner of the temple area, which stood 300 feet above the floor of the Kidron Valley. So they stand at the top of the pinnacle looking down at the ground 300 feet below. Now you'll remember, Jesus had just used scripture to reject Satan's first temptation to turn stones into bread. He quotes Deuteronomy 8, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." So Satan figures he could beat Jesus at his own game and use scripture to manipulate him into abandoning the Father's plans. He says, "If you are the Son of God, Jesus, throw yourself down." And then he quotes Psalm 91, "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." So basically he's saying, if you are the Son of God, Jesus, prove it. Cannonball off this ledge and we'll all watch as angels swoop in to catch you. For Jesus, jumping from this great height unharmed would have assured him an enthusiastic following. So Satan is tempting Jesus to curtail the Father's plans of Jesus coming in humble service. He's tempting Jesus towards the allure of spectacle and appearances. But Jesus, again, would not be dissuaded by the enemy's ploys. As we learned in episodes 3 and 4, Jesus knew true life was found in knowing and obeying the Father's will. Succumbing to the enemy's tactics to save himself would not have followed the Father's messianic and redemptive plan of Jesus being the suffering servant. Because here's the thing, Jesus didn't come to impress the world, he came to save it. He didn't come to cheat death, he came to defeat it once and for all. And the amazing thing is that Satan tempted Jesus to be spectacular by preserving his life. But Jesus was never more glorified, more splendid, more wonderful, more awe-inspiring than in his death. Why? Because on the cross, Jesus reveals with pinpoint accuracy the glorious character of God. Jesus, being both fully God and fully man, revealed the nature of God all throughout his life on earth, but he was never more spectacular than on the cross because of how clearly and accurately he revealed God's nature. In Exodus 33, Moses asks God to show him his glory or manifest his presence before him. And God says, "Moses, you can't see my face and live, but I'll show you my backside." And as God passes by, he proclaims his name. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And basically he's saying, this is who I am, Moses. This is my nature. And in that same way, as Jesus hung on the cross, his bloodied, lifeless body said to the world, "This is the Lord. compassionate and gracious, humbling himself in human flesh to pursue humanity, abounding in love, willingly laying himself down on the cross, forgiving wickedness by bleeding out to cover the sins of the world. This is the Lord. We live in a world that says appearances are everything. The temptation to be spectacular is around us all the time. If we look a certain way, work a little harder, gain a few more followers, maybe we'll do something, maybe we'll be something worth talking about. And maybe that doesn't resonate with you. For you, you don't necessarily feel the temptation to be great. Maybe you're far more comfortable in the background, but the allure to keep up appearances is still there. It's a false humility, a pride masked as humility. And I'm not saying we shouldn't strive for excellence, and it's not okay to feel more comfortable in the background. I just think Lent is the time to check in with our hearts. Is this for me, or is this for Him? Because Scripture shows us that the most spectacular thing you and I can do is pick up our crosses and follow Jesus in the way of true humility, true sacrifice. Following the Father's will. Like Jesus, we don't become spectacular by preserving our lives. We become spectacular by laying ourselves down, revealing the nature of God who lays himself down for the sake of the world. James 4, verses 7 to 10. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I will now lead you through a period of contemplation, pausing often for your own personal time with the Lord. Pay attention to any words, thoughts, or images the Holy Spirit reveals to you in this time. Lord, in what ways am I tempted to be spectacular? Lord, in what ways do I mask my pride with a false humility? Lord, in what ways are my own attempts to be spectacular in the eyes of the world obscuring your character in me? James 4, verses 7 to 10. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now spend some time in prayer, confessing the ways you have sought the allure of appearances, attempting to be spectacular to the world, rather than revealing the nature of God in your own humility. We thank you, Jesus, that it says in your word that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We acknowledge that even the sorrow of our sins is a gracious gift from you. So God of love and power, thank you for your forgiveness. Free us from our sins. Heal and strengthen us by your Spirit and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this time together. We give it to you as a Lenten offering, a gift of ourselves. We thank you for being with us, for speaking to our hearts, strengthening our faith, In reminding us that we are not alone in this journey, you led us here in grace. We ask that the transformation begun in us will continue. Amen.